Just in time for summer, the folks at Epic Brewing have released a new canned cocktail, the Utah Margarita. A delicious blend of real lime and agave, the Utah Margarita is ready to drink by the river or in the park. And here's the kicker, no need to buy it at a liquor store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's, or visit Epic Brewing on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. Here's what Salt Lake's talking about. SLC Public Lands is undertaking a process to remediate the Jordan River, a crown jewel of our city that runs from Utah Lake to the Great Salt Lake along the west side. At the end of this episode, I will ask you to vote on your favorite of three design concepts for the river. But in order to make an informed decision, let's do a little myth busting. It's Thursday, March 7th. I'm Allie Vallarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. Owen Carroll, you are the lead park ranger for the Jordan River, and there is a perception that the Jordan River is honestly disgusting. I think people think it's like dirty, murky, but you spent a lot of your time there. Do you think that's a fair characterization?
You know, I think that's tough because at first glance, yeah, you know, you're going to see, especially after it rains, you'll see sediment in the water that'll discolor it. You'll see trash floating, but there are also animals living in it and around it. And it's, you know, totally a safe and great place to do recreation along and even on the water for boating. So, you know, you kind of have to wade through those nuances and those first appearances and see that, you know, yes, this is a river that goes through the middle of a city. There's some issues that come with that. But at the same time, you know, we've managed it in such a way that there's recreation access for a reason. And, you know, one of those biggest reasons is it's this great little gem we have running right through the middle of the valley.
I have to ask, have you ever seen a beaver in the Jordan River?
I have, actually. I've been lucky enough to see a few.
You have? I'm so jealous.
Yep, they're out there. They're tough to see. You know, kind of the best guidance we can give. Usually a little easier to see, you know, spring and fall and winter. And then they like to be out really early in the morning or later in the evening.
Well, let's do a little bit of myth busting. I want to tell you some of the things that I've heard people say about the Jordan River. And I think one of the reasons that there is such concern for it is that, you know, I mean, in many ways, it's a vein in our city. But also that water goes to the Great Salt Lake, which, you know, the Great Salt Lake has never been more top of mind than it is these days. So something I hear often is all of our sewage goes into the Jordan River.
Ooh, asking the good ones right off the top of the bat.
True, false?
You know, generally speaking, true, but it is also heavily, heavily treated before that water is released in there. So it's not like it's just a straight line into the river without anything else. It goes through a heavy filtering process. And then part of that water does end up back into the watershed for the Great Salt Lake ultimately.
Okay, so our sewage is going in there, but it's heavily treated, which brings me to the next thing I hear often, which is that the river isn't safe to recreate in.
You know, and that's another one. You know, again, we're in a river that goes through an urban area, so things can change. You know, rainstorms are a really good example of when we can get a lot of surface runoff, and that may introduce pollutants that aren't, you know, typically in the river at higher concentrations after those events than they would be otherwise. So it's always good to check first. Now, there's kind of a difference between recreating in the river itself, like going in the water versus being in a boat, wearing waders and fishing. And also a lot of it kind of depends on, you know, what you're willing to do. So in this regard, the Jordan River is not necessarily different than even some lakes that people go to. You know, lakes can get a fair amount of surface runoff. If you think about some of the lakes that we've probably all been to, and there's a bunch of people that are in there swimming. It's not like a pool where they're putting in chlorine and, you know, doing filtration. So that's always kind of like a good thing to consider outside of the Jordan River as well. It's like, you know, what's going on the edges of this water body. But it is, you know, unless otherwise posted, totally safe to recreate by boat with waders. If you're looking to take a swim in it, I would really talk to your local health department first just to see what the current conditions are.
But you could wade in like in a wader, right? Like if you're fishing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I mean, even, you know, hopping in and out of a canoe, like, you know, it's not like your legs are going to dissolve the moment you hit the water. I just want to take those considerations again, that it's a waterway that can include pollutants that can be potentially harmful. But at the same time, you know, if you rinse that off, you know, within an hour or two after recreating, you're probably in good shape. Again, unless otherwise, you know, notified by health departments.
I know that in 2003, there was an alligator that was pulled out of the Jordan River. Are there other alligators in the Jordan River? This is like the question you would only get from a transplant from Florida.
No, that's a great question. To the best of my knowledge at this point, no. But, you know, we see things pop up. There's actually a fair amount of turtles that are not native to Utah that are, you know, living in and along the river that were probably introduced accidentally or purposely were people's pets. So, you know, I definitely see turtles pretty often, but no alligators so far.
Huh. Yeah. Releasing your turtles into the wild can also be kind of damaging to fish populations, right? Like, aren't they disruptive to that ecosystem?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why that is illegal. Plus, you know, you got to think about it. It's a turtle that's probably lived most of its life as a pet, if not all of its life. It may not be the best suited to a life in the wild, you know, as well intentioned as that may be. And I do believe there are actually a couple rescues in the valley that do specialize in taking in turtles, whether, you know, somebody's in a situation where they can no longer provide it a home or whether somebody sees one out in the wild and it looks like it's struggling.
Okay. Last thing that I've heard discussed, the Jordan River is full of garbage.
That's a tough one. And again, you know, it runs through a city, you know, days like, you know, today while we're recording this, it's pretty windy. So there's a fair amount of things that can just literally blow in the river from elsewhere. People drop stuff. However, there is a pretty good system in place to catch a lot of the garbage that comes in the river. There's a, you know, for lack of a better term, a net that runs across the river a little past the Salt Lake County, Davis County line that's designed to catch a lot of that trash as it floats through. And it does get cleaned off and serviced regularly. One challenge the city's seen while we've managed the river is that when a tree falls into the river, you know, being blown by the wind or something else, that becomes an area where trash can be caught. So, you know, again, I can kind of defeat the purpose as designed, but there is another level in place and there's several different volunteer groups that throughout the summer season actually do regular cleanups along the river. And honestly, one of the best helps for that is just the public when they see that, taking a picture of that, sending it in. There's a way to report that through an app called SLC Mobile, and then we can take a look at it and figure out the best way to respond to that.
Salt Lake City has this master plan for the Jordan River. It's called the Emerald Ribbon Plan, which is so strange to me because usually our master plans are just called the Sugar House Master Plan, the Jordan River Master Plan. Where does Emerald Ribbon come from?
Yeah, so Emerald Ribbon's really this idea, you know, if you were to go up above the Salt Lake Valley, you would see the Jordan River running through it. And it's this corridor of green, which, you know, with some of the other trees can be kind of harder to pick out, but it is a straight line. And that's really what we're trying to promote is this idea of it as this green space as a gathering place. And that doesn't just mean that it's, you know, preserved solely for nature. We also really want to encourage the human element. We want to work with the communities that are around the river and, you know, find out what they're interested in and help support, help grow those interests and have this vision for the river where, you know, people can continue to use the trail along the river. They can boat along the river. They can also hop off and go to a restaurant that's near the river or go see a concert near the river or go for a picnic in the park by the river. So it's, you know, trying to go away from just looking at it as a natural resource, but as a natural and cultural resource.
How do you go about that? How do you go from Jordan River 2.0 to 4.0?
You know, one of the biggest things that's helped is Salt Lake City actually passed a bond recently, which provided $9 million to make improvements along the Jordan River. So that's the first step. There is money that's already secured. Now, the second step is starting to figure out how we're going to do that. And that's working with the community and getting their input on what they want to see along the river. And there's been a series of workshops and open houses. There's actually two coming up on March 13th and March 14th. And the public can come and give their input. They can say, you know, these are our concerns about the river. These are the things that we're interested in seeing along the river. These are the things that are actually at the river already that we want to see keep being here. And then using that input is going to help guide us how we want to use that $9 million budget and create some of these projects that people are interested in.
I mean, I have to imagine that the public input that you're going to get is not just going to be about ecological remediation. I have a feeling a lot of people are going to show up to talk about safety. It's one of the things we hear about most from West Side residents. Of course, the Salt Lake City Police just conducted and publicized a big drug bust along the river. How does the plan intersect with safety?
Yeah. So, you know, again, where we're at with the plan, there isn't a specific thing set out yet. Like, we're doing, you know, this specific action at this specific location for this. So it's still kind of trying to identify what those opportunities are. But some of the things that are existing in place, you mentioned, you know, the police already patrols along the Jordan River. Us as park rangers, we're part of that process as well. We don't do enforcement. We don't write citations, but we are a presence out there. Mm. We are, you know, looking for things. If we see things, we report those. People can also report stuff to us. We can be an intermediary. And then hopefully with some of those concerns that aren't, you know, a high level of safety, we can help communicate things out to other people and try to improve some of those conditions along the river. But again, one of the biggest things that helps is the public that's out there just seeing something and saying something. So, you know, don't necessarily wait around for a ranger. If you see something that seems like it's unsafe or suspicious, call the non-emergency dispatch for Salt Lake City and they can field that call and get the proper people out there to address it.
Epic Brewing is one of the OGs in building Utah's craft beer scene. But I am most excited about their recent adventures in canned cocktails. First, they released the Utah Mule. And as a big fan of ginger, I have been sipping those for almost a year now. But now, this April, we have the Utah Margarita, a delicious, locally fermented blend of real lime and agave, and they create alcohol by fermenting cane sugar instead of using tequila, which means you can buy Utah margaritas at the grocery store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita or Utah Mule at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's, or you can visit Epic Brewery on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. They're open 7 days a week. And this fall, look out for the Utah Cosmo. I mean, I think when, for a lot of people who complain about safety along the river, they're sort of dealing with this duality. Like, they want the river to not be a crime hotspot. But at the same time, like, they don't necessarily want people who are seeking shelter along the river, who might be unsheltered Salt Lakers, to be displaced or to be, like, over-policed. How, in writing a plan for the river, do you take that kind of, those two sides into account?
Well, that's a little bit about what we do is the park ranger program. We try to catch that intersection right there. And, you know, when we deal with people who are unsheltered out along the river, you know, in a lot of ways at its core, we're dealing with the same things as we are with other people or other behaviors that cause issues along the parkway. And we're looking at that issue and we're talking about that issue and trying to resolve that issue. So, you know, one good example and one thing that we have done pretty successfully with some of the folks camped along the river is when there is a lot of waste being produced, simply offering them garbage bags and helping haul some of that out, because it's not necessarily something they have the ability to do. So it does help reduce some of those, you know, specific sites where garbage might come into the river. This is certainly not capturing, you know, all of the challenges, all of the nuances out there, but that is one, you know, tiny little thing that we have had pretty good success with. And to the point now, you know, people will see us out walking around on patrol, they'll come up for us and they'll ask for more garbage bags. So that's been a really successful relationship that we've been able to establish in our work. And we are a new program. We're only about 2 years old. So there's still a lot of potential for relationship building out there. And, you know, it's kind of hard to say where it'll go until, you know, we're out in the field and we're doing it and finding what works.
Sometimes it really is just simple things that can make a situation easier. I think so much about how much the average Salt Laker hates the abatement process. And the case that's made for abatements often is that, you know, it's a public health thing, you know, there's a lot of trash and that it needs to be removed. And it's interesting to hear that what park rangers along the Jordan River are doing is just giving people a trash bag to mitigate that problem. It's like, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. And I mean, again, you know, we look at trash as an issue regardless of somebody's housing situation. You know, sometimes just providing that venue there helps give that extra little bit of encouragement. I think, unfortunately, you know, we, you know, as a general society, we're not necessarily at a point yet where we're willing to carry our garbage, you know, a certain distance over to a trash can. So a lot of times it is just easier for somebody to drop it and say, well, you know, it's gone now. But, you know, at the same time, that's one of those other messages we try to put out there is, you know, dispose of your waste properly, you know, practice that leave no trace ethic, just like you would if you were, you know, up in the mountains or down in the canyons in southern Utah. It's just as applicable, if not in some ways more applicable to our parks here in the city than it is into those wild spaces.
We are, it seems, less offended by seeing a piece of garbage on a sidewalk than seeing a piece of garbage in grass. I don't know what it is that's triggered there. Maybe it looks more out of place to us, but I want to backtrack a little bit because I want to ask you on the note of, you know, these public input meetings that you all are hosting, what are you already hearing from people about what they'd like to see along the river?
Yeah.
What are like the zaniest or like honestly most easy to carry out proposals that the public's brought?
You know, I'd say some of the biggest stuff that people really have been asking for is they just really want to strengthen the appeal of the Jordan River as a nature refuge. And another really big one is they want to see connectivity, both in terms of, you know, people getting around, you know, trails connecting to other places, access to the trail itself from different neighborhoods. But they also want to see some of that natural connectivity, especially along some of the streams that feed into the Jordan River. And then people can actually go to the Emerald Ribbon website. It's called emeraldribbonplan.com. And you can go back and see what some of those specific comments people have made in the past are. But those are a few that really jump out to me.
Do you have a favorite stretch of the river?
Ooh, I have a lot of favorites. I think, you know, I would say if we were to get down to what I would really like, I would like an opportunity for every Salt Laker at some point in their life, if they choose, to be able to get in a boat, go on the river, and just have a chance to pull under one of the trees that's under the bank and just, you know, tie up there for, you know, 5-10 minutes, maybe a half hour, and just enjoy the fact that you can suddenly go into this completely different world that, you know, you may walk out and see that beaver swimming by or that muskrat swimming by, or you might see, you know, a warbler building its nest in the tree right above your head. And, you know, that's just the kind of opportunity that I think really transforms how people think about the river. And I think, you know, you're talking about earlier about the importance of the Great Salt Lake. I think that's one of those, you know, discrepant moments in people's experience that's going to make them, you know, go from seeing it as something that's out there and seeing it as something in an abstract sense that they care to having that personal connection, that personal experience, and realizing why they care. And it may not even be for something like me. It may not be the muskrat swimming by or the beaver. It might not be the bird. It might be, you know, just the joy of being able to get out with a loved one, or it might just be having that moment to themselves. But whatever it is, I think the river is a really, really good venue for finding that connection.
I mean, if I'm being totally honest, I wonder, when we think about the east-west divide in this city, we know that the west side of Salt Lake has been underinvested in for generations, largely due to the history of redlining and racial segregation in the city. How much do you think Salt Lakers might speak about or recreate on or engage with the Jordan River differently if it was on the east side of the city?
You know, I think it likely would be different. You know, one thing that I find really interesting along the river over here is that, you know, you do have these different types of communities along this waterway than some of the east side waterways. And a lot of that is, you know, on the east side, you'll see a lot of, you know, private homes primarily along the waterways. And somebody might live alongside a stream and they have their property, and that's kind of what they think of as their streamside spot. Whereas here you get a little bit of that, but you also have areas that are industrial space or once were agricultural space. So you have these big sections of parks along the parkway. So I think, you know, one of the biggest differences here compared to some of the streams on the east side is I think there's a longer history here of seeing spaces along the river as communal space, as shared space. I think sometimes that can lead to some of the issues, as we see a lot of places, you know, everybody has a different idea of how they want to use shared space. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot to really build off of there because, you know, people may have different activities or even interests in certain ways, but they have a common place that they want to do that. And that's alongside the river itself.
Yeah. I just am like, gosh, I mean, this is the water body that connects the Utah Lake to the Great Salt Lake, right? Like, this is the lifeblood of our city in a lot of ways. And the fact that its reputation is that it's murky and it's full of trash. And even like the Great Salt Lake, I'm like, how much is that because these bodies are on the west side of the city? Like, how much do they suffer culturally from the way that our city is segregated? And the fact that a lot of the power in this city is centered and financial resources on the east side. That's really, I think, to me, what I'm like, think is worth exploring.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's kind of the cool thing about this project is it's, you know, looking to try to identify what some of those historic issues were, what some of those gaps were, and take that time now where there's the money, the resources, the focus available, and try to make some of those bridges that didn't happen. And even in the recent past where there were some of those attempts at bridging, you know, things change with time. Things may not have been done, you know, exactly perfectly in the past, or, you know, things may have been really well in some cases and just need, you know, a little bit of a revamp to it. So, you know, again, that's the great thing about this river is people have a chance to give that feedback, and that's going to be used to create these projects and, you know, literally see these things spring up from the ground.
I mean, where do you see this river? I mean, I don't want to say headed in 20 years because hopefully it will still be headed the same direction, which is into the Great Salt Lake. But in terms of what it's like to be on the Jordan River or the health and wealth of the river, 20 years from now, what's the dream?
I'm very optimistic. You know, I think it's just going to keep getting better.
I can tell.
I've had some, you know, really interesting conversations with people out along the river that grew up alongside it and remember when there were things like literal animal carcasses floating down the river because there were slaughterhouses along the bank that just shoved that waste into the river and let it float down. And that's something that, you know, we don't really see on a regular basis anymore here. And, you know, even in my, you know, relatively short lifespan growing up here in Salt Lake, you know, I've seen, you know, the stuff along the Jordan River change for the better. I've been lucky enough, you know, in college to help participate in some plantings and ecological restoration along the river. And I'm old enough now that those projects are over a decade old, and going back to some of them and thinking about what I remember it being like when we were literally putting those plants in the ground, it's a completely different place now. So I think that's going to continue. I think as Salt Lake grows, as, you know, our community has been evolving with that growth, people are going to be more interested in this. You know, one of the, you know, I keep saying this, one of the greatest things about the pandemic is that people got outside and saw places that they normally didn't go just while they were going out to get space to recreate. And I think Jordan River is one of those. And that's still the case. Yeah. We'll talk to people that are out for their first visit along the river all the time, and they're just blown away by it because usually their experience firsthand doesn't match the reputation that they've heard. Or in some cases, we have people that didn't even know it existed at all, just found a park like, you know, Jordan Park in the International Peace Garden, started wandering around there, and then inevitably came to the part of the park that flanks along the river. And they're like, oh my goodness, it's right here. I didn't even know Salt Lake had a river like this. So
yeah,
I just see it getting better and better.
Owen Carroll, lead Salt Lake City Park Ranger for the Jordan River. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Salt Lake City Public Lands is currently in phase two of the Emerald Ribbon plan to reimagine the Jordan River. And that phase is being called Dream Big. 3 design concepts sit before us. I encourage you to give them a look and vote on your favorite. I think mine is Dynamic Districts, which creates pocket parks along the river themed to the different neighborhoods it crosses. There's a really nice video that explains the different concepts, an interactive map where you can submit photos or ideas from along the river, and a survey, all to take, at emeraldribbonplan.com. I also linked it in the episode description. And if you prefer an in-person workshop, stop by Mestizo Coffee from 4 to 8 p.m. on Thursday, March 14th. There will be surveys on site and free food. That is all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake. Thanks for listening. We will be back tomorrow morning with more from around this city.